When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Farmers Guardian is proud to work alongside the Rock and Roll Farming Podcast. For all the latest news and features from across the ag industry, head to fginsight.com. You'll also find a wide variety of advice pieces to help you and your farming business flourish.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming. Rock and Roll Farming is proud to be part of the Farm and Rural Ag Network. For more great agriculture-related podcasts and vlogs, please visit farmruralag.com. Hey everybody, and welcome to this extremely special bonus Rock and Roll Farming. I'm your host, Will Evans, and today I'm sitting at my kitchen table in our farmhouse with Cabinet Secretary for Energy Planning and Rural Affairs for Wales, Leslie Griffiths. Leslie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
First of all, then, you have been in the job as Cabinet Secretary for Energy Planning and Rural Affairs for a couple of years now. You must talk to farmers and people involved in agriculture on a daily basis. Do you enjoy it, and are you relishing the challenge of the next few years?
Yes, I enjoy it very much. As you say, I've been in post now for 2 years, so lots of discussions with people involved in all aspects of agriculture. I suppose the biggest challenge really is the dreaded word Brexit. It's certainly very hard to see opportunities, but we must do that. But clearly there are great challenges ahead.
Mm. And what are some of the things you enjoy most about the job, apart from getting to meet lots of lovely Welsh farmers? That goes without saying.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a people person. I really enjoy meeting lots of lovely Welsh farmers such as yourself. I think they're the most hospitable group of people I've ever come across.
That's so nice.
That's a very good part of the job. Uh-huh. But it's just been something that I didn't really have much knowledge about before mm-hmm. I came into the post. I obviously represent an urban constituency in Wrexham. Mm-hmm. I've only got 5 farms in my constituency, so it wasn't a kind of part of politics that I'd ever really had a lot to do with. So massive learning curve when I came into post. We had the EU referendum vote mm-hmm. the month after, so you can imagine the mm-hmm. whole time I've been in post, really, we've had this kind of cloud over us. But also it was a massive learning curve for me. So that first summer, I took in as many agricultural shows as I mm-hmm. could, and certainly did as many farm visits as I could. And I've carried that on really over the past 2 years. So you're my second farm visit of the day.
So the consultation paper that's just been released, Brexit in Our Land, it explains how Welsh Government is proposing to continue to support farmers post-Brexit. And it's important to highlight the word consultation, isn't it? You're seeking views and ideas from everyone involved in Welsh agriculture.
Yeah, I think it's really important to make sure everyone knows it's a very meaningful consultation. No point in having a consultation unless it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. And certainly the whole time I've been a minister, I've always made sure that any consultation that we've undertaken has been that. People have very strong views about mm-hmm. the way we go. Particularly in relation to the schemes that we have. So we've had some great schemes like Glasdear, for instance. We don't want to lose what we've had from Glasdear. So the design of the schemes is out for consultation. We've been very clear that there will be 2 schemes, economic resilience mm-hmm. and public goods. So that's not out for consultation, but the makeup of the schemes is absolutely there for the taking.
Yeah, okay. Now, you'll no doubt have been asked this several times already, but I feel like I've got to mention it. The term land managers that's used throughout the paper has caused a bit of a stir amongst farmers. Why has that term been used instead of, say, farmers and foresters? Is it just for practical reasons?
We said straight away that the majority of land managers are, of course, farmers, including foresters as well. Yeah. But we want to make sure that everybody's included. So contractors, for mm-hmm. instance, and agents. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody needs to get twitchy about that title at all.
All right, then. The paper talks of a multi-year transition period to the new land management programme, with it starting in 2020 and finishing in 2025. There's a huge change to the system that's been in place for many years. Those involved in farming know it's a long-term game. Do you think this is an adequate time for farmers to prepare?
Yes, I do. One of the reasons I went out to New Zealand earlier this year was to see what had happened when they had that cliff edge back in 1984 when subsidy was stopped. And the one message that everybody gave me was that you need that multi-year transitional period. So I think it is adequate. We'll start in 2020, but there has to be that long transition from going from BPS to the new schemes. So we want to make sure that we bring the legislation forward, that we have the schemes in place. And I think by 2025, that will be possible.
Okay. So red tape, a huge bugbear, not only in agriculture. I'm sure everybody mentions this to you. The paper mentions, and I quote, exploring opportunities to reduce areas of administrative complexity. I'm sure farmers will not only be pleased to hear that, they'll be probably shouting hallelujah. But how do you propose we can do this in practice?
I think we have to do it. I think if we don't do it, we will have failed. Because certainly when I came into post, we had that vote, and I spent a great deal of the summer asking farmers how they'd voted. And the majority that voted leave, I would say one of the reasons they gave me was the red tape. They were just sick of the red tape. So I think it's really important that we look at that. We need to look at regulations. Obviously, we have to have regulations. Made it very clear there won't be any drops in any standards, environmental standards, for instance. So we need to work together to make sure we do that. But as I say, if we don't reduce the complexity, I think we will have failed.
Yeah. Okay.
So I suppose that's an opportunity. You know, I said we've got to look for opportunities with Brexit. I think that's a big opportunity.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So the consultation states several times that the cap hasn't delivered as it should have for Welsh farmers, and there's a strong case to replace it. Could you explain why you believe this is the case? Because a recent NFU study found that for every £1 invested by government in UK agriculture, the industry delivers a return of £7.40, which is a £1.5 billion return on the £200 million currently spent on direct payments in Wales. Sorry, a lot of numbers here. Those figures would seem to suggest that it's in fact been good for Welsh farmers.
But still, Wales is the lowest of the four countries in relation to income per hectare. So I don't think it's brought forward enough productivity, efficiency. We've just mentioned complexity. And certainly on the environmental side, I think there's far more that we could have been doing, which hasn't, you know, it's been much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Around Glastier, it's very prescriptive, for instance. So I think, you know, there are things that we can do to improve that.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned productivity then. The paper talks about greatly improving agricultural productivity in Wales. But it also talks a lot about improving the natural environment on our farms. And we'd all obviously like to see improvement in both. Can we realistically do that, do you think?
Yes, I think you can do both. And certainly the schemes that we're proposing to bring forward, every farmer can apply to both. So I think that's a bonus as well. It's only about 60% of our farms receive CAP, for instance. So I think, yes, but the two go hand in hand. And we have to do more around the environment. I think you're right. Most farmers want to do that, are already doing it, and are not getting paid for doing it. So I think it's really important that we do have that public goods scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine there's any farmers who wouldn't like to improve the natural environment on their farms, really. So Welsh and UK farms have indeed not kept pace with other countries in terms of productivity, Holland, for example, why do you think this is when we've got so many advantages as farmers here with the climate, infrastructure, highly skilled workforce?
I think there's probably several reasons. On average, our farms are much smaller than other parts of the country. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons. But there are, you know, topography is another reason.
Yeah, okay. As I just mentioned, climate there. It's been an extremely difficult year for farmers with the weather and its impact. And we seem to be getting more extreme weather patterns in Wales and the UK. We've seen them impact on food supply with some empty supermarket shelves this past winter with the snow. Can you give us some assurance as farmers that the Welsh Government will continue to support us through these difficult times? I think I've seen today it's been announced that Scottish farmers to be offered government loans to access their annual payment from the EU early and things like that would be.
So you mentioned the difficult weather. So we had that very long, wet winter, and now we've obviously had a very dry summer. So at the Royal Welsh, we had a dry weather summit, and that question was asked of me, would we bring BPS payments forward? And we could do that. We could look at doing that. I mean, the Scottish Government have always given loans. We've always focused on making sure the majority of farmers receive their BPS on the 1st of December. We were about 97% last year. So we haven't done loans as per norm because we focused on making sure we get that percentage out. So it's certainly something we can look at, and we're working very closely with the sector around the dry weather. So we, for instance, there's a meeting every Friday to make sure that we're up to date with it. I'm now about to embark on the Pembroke Show and the Anglesey Show and the Flintshire and Denbighshire Show. So again, I'm sure we'll be having those conversations, but we will do what we can, obviously, to support. But I think we need to work in partnership with the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, the consultation proposes two new overarching schemes, as you mentioned, an economic resilience scheme and a public good scheme. Perhaps you could just tell us a bit, a quick overview of what the two schemes are.
So the economic resilience scheme is about productivity, making sure the farm is viable, sustainable. We want to make sure that food production is very much at the heart of that scheme. The public goods, I mentioned in an earlier answer that I think farmers are providing so many public goods that they're not getting paid for. So that's things that there isn't a market for. I think it's about sort of creating a market for those public goods. So your flood prevention, the carbon capture, you mentioned carbon capture before. So the sort of things that you haven't been getting paid for.
Okay. All right then. Environmental scheme then. Glass tier is going to be replaced. I presume existing contracts will be honoured. And how do you envisage the new scheme working?
So, yes, existing contracts will be honoured. And I mentioned about not losing what we've gained from Glass tier. You know, we've spent millions and millions of pounds in relation to Glass tier schemes. So that will form the basis of the scheme. But again, out to consultation at the moment. Don't want people to think we've made our minds up. That can be part of the consultation responses.
So you're very much looking to hear from farmers about what they would like to see from the scheme.
Absolutely, very important.
Okay. For many productive lowland farms, previous schemes haven't necessarily worked for them. Do you see there being a different scheme for upland and lowland farms? There's a huge difference, for example, an upland sheep producer in Snowdonia or someone growing potatoes on a large scale in Pembrokeshire. Do you think one scheme can work for
we do everyone? Think one scheme can work for everyone. We don't envisage having separate schemes, but again, out to consultation, let's hear what people have to say. But I think in relation to the schemes, it probably will be more focused on one scheme.
Okay, because I mean, tenant farmers is perhaps an issue, isn't it? Because sometimes with farm business tenancies, they can have restrictions, whether they be very short rental periods, etc. And we ever rented a block of land here that we can't put in a scheme for various reasons. And as they've always been, Glass tier is a whole farm scheme. We've then never been able to get in one. Whereas we've got, well, as you'll have seen, we've got some land, you know, potentially fantastic habitat here. So do you think, will things like that be taken into account?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a specific question around tenant farmers. And the consultation paper has come out from the stakeholder group that we've had. We set up straight away after the EU referendum vote. So over the last 2 years, the stakeholders have given huge input, to which I'm very grateful. And that consultation paper has come from there, and we have representation from the tenant farmers. So, you know, I think they're very pleased that that specific question was in as well.
Because, you know, there's a high percentage of tenant farmers in Wales, isn't there? Especially in this area down the borders. And
there are, yes.
Yeah. Okay. With the scheme, then, if we can get it right and get a high uptake and buy-in from farmers, there's a real opportunity to use that to improve tourism and visitor numbers to Wales, and by selling our unique landscape to the world even further, much the way New Zealand do, by linking agriculture with tourism, and Ireland doing so well with Origin Green, and then, you know, there's real opportunities for a new and improved, bigger and better than before brand Wales, isn't there?
Absolutely agree. I saw out in New Zealand the work they were doing in relation to that, and I think, you know, so many people do come to Wales for the beautiful landscapes, and, you know, who provides those beautiful landscapes? It's our farmers, our land managers. So I think there is a big opportunity there to sell Wales a bit more.
Because, I mean, what I'd like to see personally, if we're going down the environment and public money for public goods route, is like a target of sort of 90% uptake for the new scheme. And let's really be ambitious and set an example to the rest of the world from Wales. And
well, I hope you put that into the consultation.
Well, I will do. I will do for sure. Okay, you're obviously very ambitious for the future of Welsh farming. How difficult is it at the moment with the lack of clarity from Westminster, with the amount of funding we'll get in Wales? It must be hindering you, I'd have thought.
It's very difficult because we need that clarity. Yeah. And if you remember before the vote, we were promised we wouldn't lose a penny. Wales would not lose a penny if we left. So it's really important that we do have that funding. Yeah. You know, the Welsh Government wouldn't be able to find that 300 million plus funding. You know, our budget as a whole has been reduced 10% over the last few years by the UK government. So it's vital that we have that funding. But we're working on the basis that we are going to get it because we were promised it. So it's not hindering in a way that we're not planning what we want to see. Yeah. But of course, if we don't get that funding, that would just leave a black hole that I don't think Welsh Government could fill.
No, okay. Do you have a good working relationship with your colleagues at DEFRA? I mean, you're obviously from a different political party, with the government in Wales being Labour and in Westminster Conservative, and you'd have different ideals, but do you get along okay? And how confident are you that between you, both you can deliver a favourable outcome for farms in Wales?
I think I do have a very good working relationship. I think that's crucial. Yeah. I think it's important. People don't want to see squabbles. They want to see you getting on. And
I think we're seeing enough of that at the moment, aren't we?
I think you're right, yes. You mentioned the difference in the two ends of the M4,
yeah,
which obviously causes problems. But ultimately, I want the best for Wales. I want to make sure that DEFRA are under no illusions what we expect and what we want. So I meet probably once every 6 weeks with the DEFRA Secretary of State and my counterparts from Scotland, and obviously Northern Ireland hasn't got a government at the minute, but before that, with the Minister from Northern Ireland. And I think it's really important that those discussions are constructive. I'm not saying they're not without the disagreements and their arguments. Of course they are. But I think it is important that we do have a good, constructive working relationship, because I think that's what people want.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, when does the consultation close, and how can farmers and landowners get involved and respond?
So it closes on the 30th of October, so a very long consultation period. The longest one I've ever done as a minister, it's 16 weeks, because I appreciated it was a very busy time for everyone. And also I wanted to get it out a couple of weeks before the Royal Welsh Show. So myself and officials had lots of discussions at the Royal Welsh Show. I'm sure they'll carry on at the rest of the agricultural shows. There'll be lots of meetings, particularly in September in the evenings, that people can go. I think all the details are on the website. And I would urge as many people as possible to put their views forward.
I'm seeing. All right, and one further thing before I let you go then. I would suggest that is that when I interviewed Michael Gove, I suggested that he make Rock and Roll Farming required listening at DEFRA. And he said he would, but I don't think he has. Typical Brexiteer politician. But I think you should make it required listening at the Senate. I think that would be beneficial to the whole country.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll tweet that today and I'll make sure that everybody sees it.
All right, and thank you very much for visiting us on our family farm in your own patch of Wrexham. I really enjoyed having you here, and best of luck with everything going forward.
Thanks, Will.
And to everyone at home, thanks for listening, and see you next time. I've been Will Evans. This has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you and good night.